Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Before we see this morning, I'm just going to pray over top of us as we get ready. Dear Heavenly Father, God, what a time to be alive, Lord. What a time to celebrate you. What a time to be together as a church family, Lord. And through all the trials, through all the discomforts that we come into in life, God, we know the one constant, that is you. Your grace and your empathy and your love for us is unconditional, Lord, and we're thankful for that. This morning, as we open up your word, God, may we just be students of your word. May we just listen in and lead in, Lord, and just guide us to what you want to teach us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please take a seat. I told Daniel coming up here this morning, all I thought I had was announcements, so bear with me. I'm just kidding. But anyway, I'm excited to be here. On the way here this morning, I grabbed two cups of coffee so that I'd be primed. Almost finished them both, so I'm going to be fired up and ready to kick it. But in this series, Be the Bridge, to me, this is this is an important series because I think there's one thing that we try to sit in with as the local church is always kind of our place, right? Like, how do we always truly carry out God's work? How do we actually be this bridge? And at a time that I believe it is also very highlighted and laminated over, we pretty much get daily examples of what not being the bridge is in life, right? How do we pull people apart, not how do we pull people together? How do we bound different cultural groups, not how do we pull cultural groups together? And it's not natural. No one is gifted to tie everyone together except Jesus. That was it. None of us in this room have a gift, and this is in my humble opinion, this is not in scripture, but none of us have a gift that we could go touch every single person and tie them all together. But Jesus can. And the point is that we're susceptible and we're open to our point of that mission and our piece of that mission. And if we only worry about that, which is to continue on to do God's work and carry his word, I truly believe that the gospel becomes truly successful in its mission to reach as many people as we possibly can. But if we kind of break it down too far and we get in the weeds to it too much of whether how we're pinpointing groups and cultural sides of it, I think we miss the point, which is just carry the word of God to as many people as we can, not try to come up with organic processes with statistics that lead us to tell us how we're impacting people. And I feel that's where this message in this series will lead us to be, is Daniel, when Daniel and his family came here to Bluffton to plant this church, that was what I truly felt I'd always said, was that a lot of churches were doing a lot of great things, and we always need more churches, but I think that we always need that one church, the rock of a church, that will just truly be it, will be a bridge, will be a gateway. And I think that a bridge, what we sometimes forget about a bridge is, a bridge brings people and connects different plots of land, as far as geographically together, but it does not mean people will not go back across that bridge, right? And what I mean by that is people will leave your church family all the time. Sometimes they go to other churches, sometimes they move, and that's great. Our important part is that we are equipping them while they're here, the best that we can equip them for their next area that they go out. So I was excited for this series to come up here, and I'm glad to be here this week with you. Last week, our family had to be on the quarantine protocol list, so we were knocking that out the park and getting our little CDC guidelines out the way. We hit those, and now we're back into it. We only had to have one test in the house. He was negative, so I was all good for that, carrying back to life. But this morning, what I'm going to dive into is discipleship. And as we start this, I want you to open your minds, because I believe that discipleship, anytime it is taught, anytime it is preached, I think we have to understand that there could always be multiple levels of discipleship in the room. There could be that are being discipled. There can be those that are discipling others. There can be that of both of that. You're being discipled and you're helping disciple other people. And there could be this other group that's kind of like, I'm not necessarily sure. I'm a follower of Christ, right? But I don't know if I kind of am being discipled or am I discipling anyone? And I think even scripture, which we're going to dive into this morning, kind of laminates that to us. We hear followers of Christ often. Jesus had crowds that followed him everywhere. But then he also had another group of individuals, the disciples, who were alongside of with him. So it was segued there, too, where you could see his disciples who were leaning in on him, learning from him in a daily walk with him. And you had followers of Christ within the crowds that were also there. And maybe they necessarily weren't stepping out from the crowd. So what I want to look at this morning is the idea of and kind of focus in on that, you know, sometimes stepping out from the crowd is going to be a lean forward from your position. And what I want this not to be is an organic process that I believe it's linear, step one, step two, step three, to become a disciple of Christ, but more as to an internal conversation with yourself is where is your step and your walk with Christ at the moment, and what does that mean your next step should be? And this morning, as far as scripturally, obviously when it comes to discipleship, there are many, many, many scriptures that we could go to, and what I'm going to preach this morning is Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I know we said, well, that's a unique scripture probably to speak discipleship on if you've ever heard the story. But I believe there's a beautiful message here of showing discipleship, but also showing the different segments and different pieces where people were. This morning, I am preaching out of NIV. I know scripture, will, as always, be on the slides. Thank goodness for technology. But I'm going to lean into it right here. I'm going to come out of Matthew. This is a scripture that is preached out of all the Gospels. I'm going to come out of Matthew this morning, chapter 14. And I'm going to start here at verse 13. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So again, you know, kind of much to what I just spoke to, realize that crowds are following Jesus, right? Followers of Jesus are present right here inside the scripture piece. It says, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who had ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. So most of us are familiar with this story, and of course, there's no way for me to sit up here and try to break down logic on this to explain how that little bit of food became a whole lot of food, except Jesus, right? And that's always the link that we cannot attain to understand, and nor are we tasked with, is Jesus's power and what he wants to do at any given time. But what I want to do pick away from this story is a few key points right off the get-go, which number one, kind of like what I led into, this story was separated from the get-go. There was a crowd. There were people who followed Christ, right? They were following his teachings. Now, it doesn't discern whether how many had heard the message before, how many had been impacted before, but there was a crowd of followers of Christ, and there was a group of disciples of Christ all in the same area. So we had a massive crowd, right? We had a massive crowd, and we had the disciples. Other points to this message to just key in on, because I don't think you could ever say them enough, is takeaways from that scripture, is number one, God will always be enough. Right? Humanity will never be enough. God will always be enough, right? If I brought up this idea of a basket of bread and some fish and even attempted to feed you all, right, you'd probably be looking at me with a hungry look. I did not satisfy you, nor should I. I cannot satisfy. Nobody up here with the Bible, right, and a tablet and a microphone will satisfy you. Jesus will satisfy you, and understand that he is, right? He was always our greatest example of empathy, his compassion, his grace for people. He was God in the flesh. And what I think we don't attain to sometimes, and what we're not quite tracking, is that you should never look to humanity for the satisfaction that God can give you in your life, because it will always be a constant letdown. That's including within our marriages, within our children, within our siblings, within our personal relationships. They will never be enough to satisfy your life the way God can satisfy your life, because his attainment, his glory, his magnification is that of heaven, not of earth. That's what makes him God. He is not of this world. He created this world, and his satisfaction to our lives is that. He is the fulfillment of our lives. But as we dig deeper into this, what I want to really take focus in on is this picture of discipleship, but also the picture of ministry that was happening here, right? We had a massive crowd, and we had a few who were serving this massive crowd, his disciples of Christ. And what I think it's a great picture of, which was Jesus's, how his ministry worked, right, was the fact that these deep followers of Christ, that always followed him would connect with the masses that would come to hear the message, right? So it was always a few who were working with large crowds of people. And what I think is so interesting is the picture of ministry that Jesus showed us, even when he walked earth, is no different than the picture of ministry today. Difference is Jesus doesn't walk earth today, right? We have a pastor, and we usually have some teams that are built around the local pastor who are serving the masses, who are teaching the masses, who are reaching out to the crowds. Jesus' picture of ministry was truly the perfect picture of ministry. That it was not that everybody in that crowd was ready to walk alongside Jesus and go reach the masses. They weren't ready. They weren't there yet. They were a crowd still learning from Jesus, still learning from his teachers, still learning from his word. But then it kind of gets into this, you know, as we flash forward today, right? And we understand this few concept that the few are always serving the masses. And if you're not careful, you can almost view that in a negative sense, right? Well, how come the few are still serving? I mean, Jesus' ministry has been alive for 2,000 plus years now, after he came to earth. So how are we still in the same philosophy? And even as my wife and I were talking about this week, she even kind of made sure, naturally, she pressed me on it over the idea of like, well, that's not a bad thing. And she's exactly right? Because not everybody is ready to step forward and be, maybe it's a serve team. Maybe it's just walking out into your neighborhood, right? And handing out the little welcome. It's like, oh, please join me at church. Maybe it's engaging people in natural conversation of everyday life. Not everybody is ready for that. And that's okay, because it's your walk with Christ. It's not my walk with Christ that should dictate your life. It's your walk with Christ that has to dictate your life. And where are you at? For some, they will sit in the crowd for years. Right. And I'm not giving this into a positive or negative light. But what I have to say is it's not your position to rank people either. Right. To be like, well, dang, they've been at church for 22 years. And I ain't said, because you don't know what they're doing behind the scenes. Right. You have no idea what their daily life looks like and who they're interacting with on a daily basis. That may be the brightest light that has ever shined for Jesus' gospel. But you're trying to judge it based upon what you see on a Sunday morning, not the other 6 days of the week. And I think that's very, 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 very important. I always think to it, like, for me, I will talk to the randomest stranger all the time. Don't care. Right? My wife, true, right? I don't care. I sit on airplanes all the time, and guess what? I always tell people, if I could put up a meme of what me in an airplane looks like, it would probably put somebody in a box and just watch them bounce off the box nonstop. That's me sitting on an airplane, right? I just can't focus on, like, I just want to run. Like, get me out of here. And because I can't sit still. But I always engage people on planes. And 99% of my conversations on an airplane lead to a conversation about the gospel at one way or the other, right? And again, I do not know what that will mean when they leave the plane. I do not know if they will be saved. I do not know if they are saved. Sometimes I do, because we speak, we'll get to that level. All I know is I shared the gospel. That was what I was tasked with, right? That's what I was tasked with. Share the gospel. That's it, right? And care for people. Not judge, but not start giving them the list. You know, write down the sketch notes. Look, this is what you got to change as soon as you get off the plane if you're going to be a follower of Christ. No, share the message, right? Jesus' name is what I'm sharing, right? His love for them. And it's funny, the last flight I was on, was sitting next to a guy, and I probably wouldn't have spoke to him. I was pretty tired, and I think I was coming from Kansas to Dallas, but the guy started coughing, right? And of course, in 2021, when you're sitting next to somebody who's coughing, you're like, oh man, you know, I'm gonna get it, right? And the guy, he instantly, as soon as he started coughing, he was like, I promise I'm okay. You know, I was like, no, you're good, man, you're good. And we started talking. I was like, he had a nice little tablet folder and everything, and I was like, this is interesting. We just started talking a couple minutes. I said, are you in ministry? And he started laughing. He said, why do you ask? I'm just curious. And he was like, no, he said, but I am an elder at the church that I'm actually part of a church plant. And I was like, no. So needless to say, for the next from Kansas City to Dallas, we just engaged in gospel conversations from church planting all the way down to the fact of adoption. And him and his wife weren't able to have children and adopted two kids. And lo and behold, then they could have children. And now they got a third one. Like, I mean, it was just great conversation. But I say that because what I look at it from a personal level is kind of where I'm going at with this is that my walk with Christ has enabled me to have those conversations now. right? I have leaned forward enough in the gospel and leaned forward enough in trust in God to have those conversations with people. It's not that I'm a biblical scholar, but it's that I know what my job is to pass his word and his information along, and God will do the rest, right? I've got my part down, and I'm not changing anybody. And it doesn't matter how good my words are, how many great one-liners you could write down in your notepad today. I'm not going to change a soul from up here at this pulpit this morning. But what I am going to do is profess his name, right? And that's what I see this beautiful picture of the crowd to the disciples is the crowd is when we are oftentimes followers of Christ. We believe and we understand, right? And we're tracking who Jesus is. We can believe and as far as be a Christian, but that movement from the crowd to a disciple is different. There is a difference there. You must make choices at that point in time in your life that are accountable to Christ, that you're going to lean forward to understand his teachings, to understand who he is, to understand what God has asked for your life. And we'll dial that in a little bit later. But what I want you to also know is that the few, this idea of the few or the disciples was how Jesus built his ministry. And even if you go to Ephesians, which is not going to pop on the slide, I'm going to read it out loud, though. If you go to Ephesians chapter 3, right, verse 8, it says, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles and the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of his mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things, right? One man right here who is saying, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, his grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles, right? One man who knew his position, the few, was to go out and preach and reach the masses. And it kind of leads me right here into what I will say is kind of point one to this. And point one is not something for you to write down and take a note on, but it's an internal question. In your walk with Christ, do you sit as a follower in the crowd of Christ, understanding his teachings, or have you leaned forward and leaned in to become a disciple of Christ and to understand that there is a distinct difference there, right? Are you still in the crowd, right? You're listening to the teachings, but you haven't really chosen to lean forward and dive in, because I think that that's where the personal choices in your life become so paramount, but yet so important, is to say, I've got to commit time to this. I have to commit part of my life every day to say, I'm going to lean into God for his understanding and his grace and his empathy and his teachings to understand who he was. Because if we break down a disciple, right, a disciple is a student or a follower. According to the dictionary, that's exactly what it is, right? A disciple is a student or a follower. So if you're a student of something or if you're following something, that means you must be studying something, right? Studies say that. If you're in class, if you're in school, and you are a student, you must be studying something, doing some work to attain knowledge. And the beauty of it is, right, in the 2021 Discipleship Starter Kit, you got all the answers already, right? I mean, it's pretty good for you. You're not even set up for failure, right? There's no pop quiz that are going to be questions you've never heard before. You've got all the attainment that you need to understand what the discipleship and what Christ wants for your life. It just requires you to actually open the book and read the book of Christ, right? And to say, what has God want? What does he want for me in my life? How do I handle it? And I think there's no greater time frame over what is Christ-like behavior and what is Christ-like responses than the era we live in now. I mean, I've not been around too long. What, 28 now? So, or 38 now? And, like I said, I mean, I've been around too long. But what I do know is in my 38, I've never seen a time where there is no greater need for Christ-like responses than the era we live in now. Because I guarantee no matter who you are and what your walk is, you are going to be asked some difficult questions in modern time on your beliefs of something in the way we are headed to. And there's a big difference when you give your personal opinion and what would be a Christ-like response. There can be two different pieces right there. And always remember that even when you give your personal opinion as a follower of Christ and a believer in Christ, you're still responsible to Christ, right? So you can have all your personal opinions you want to. Doesn't make them biblical. Does not make them biblical, right? You can be an elder in a church and have some personal opinions that are not biblical. You can be the pastor of a church, have some personal opinions that are not biblical. It doesn't, just because your position does not make your response biblical. Your response being biblical is understanding biblical response, right? And understanding Christ's response for situations. And I truly believe that Christ puts us in, and God has put us in many of these situations for that right there. Guess what? You're going to learn right now. You will learn. I don't think there's a harder time to learn to be some Christian responses than right now, because you can have some personal decisions coming up right now being like, what in the world? Like, you don't got it. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out, but it's not where we are, right? Of course, as we know, God is love. And that's what we know will win all is love. And I think that's the greatest challenge we're being tasked with personally right now is love, right? Is love. Love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and love our neighbor, love everybody the same. Very challenging right now. Very challenging. And so that personal decision for you to move from crowd to become a disciple of Christ, I never believe there's organic steps that can make that happen. And what I mean by that is I don't believe if you do step one, step two, step three, step four. What I believe is you have to give a personal commitment first and foremost. And what I believe by that is that you, to understand Christ, right, we have to understand who was Jesus, what was he doing, and how did he do it? And oftentimes we sit on those. What did he do? How did he do it? But what I believe we have to sit in is why he did it. If we sit and saturate ourselves in the why of Jesus, the how and what become natural flows of life, right? If we saturate in the idea, if we go deeper into this and say, you know what? So what did Jesus, why Jesus's ministry? Well, why Jesus' ministry is because he came and sacrificed his blood on a cross so that you and I could have forgiveness and a way to him and a way to God. So we understand that why Jesus' ministry came, why he did what he did, was to be a sacrifice. He fulfilled Old Testament, right? He fulfilled the prophecy that came down. And there is now a way to God through the Son. There is a way there through him, right? That is what Jesus did. So that's where we sit in and we saturate ourselves in is the why. It's not how to become a disciple. That's not the way we're going to become uber successful with this. The idea is we have to sit in the why. Why did he come here? Why did he do the things he did? Because he wanted to give people a way to God. And when we sit in the why, Jesus did what he did. We don't become organically ingrained in processes. We become naturally attained to the love of Christ that we can spread to other people. But I truly believe if the biggest takeaway I'll ever give you out of this message today is don't sit here and open your Bible to understand how the disciples were preaching or what the disciple, because let me go ahead and give you the answer to the test. They were preaching Jesus, right? That's what they were preaching with Jesus. But why were they doing it? And your why will always give you your how and what. But with Jesus' ministry and what it is, and this is kind of the takeaway that I want to give you today, is that as you walk this process of discipleship, as you get to this point in life where you say, I'm going to step out, okay, I'm going to move from the crowd to become a disciple. I'm going to focus on why Jesus did what he did, right? Because that will lead to your conversations. Why am I engaging this person? I'm simply just pushing Jesus's name. I'm pushing the message out there. I will let Jesus do what he wants to do and naturally do it. But what I want you to focus on here is that when we do this, we live out the great commission that was given to us, right? We live out the Great Commission when we sit and focus on the why and we go out and pass that to other people. Is we start truly living through the Great Commission of making disciples, right? Baptizing. And our whole focus is to get people to know him and have the same power of the Holy Spirit that we have, right? Because the whole reason now you've gotten to the point in your life when you say, man, I couldn't even walk out and go order pizza from the pizza guy. You know what I'm saying? But another conversation, right? Because you're nervous. I'm scared. I don't know what I'm going to say. I can't do it. I can't. There's nothing I know. Because you've moved past it to the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter. No one's asked. It doesn't matter what you say. It matters that it's attained in love of Jesus and of his message of Christ. And the fact that there is a place for you, there's a place for me, there's a place for her, there's a place for all of us. But through this idea of discipleship, I want you to take home today is that you ask yourself the question, you know, do I find myself that I still sit in the crowd as a follower of Christ, or do I sit as a disciple of Christ? And if you're ready to move forward with a disciple of Christ, I also believe there's a personal conversation to be had with those that are around you, that your mentors, right? Your pastors, your elders, that you have these conversations and say, you know, look, I want to continue to move forward with my relationship. And that's where the vulnerability will exist that will draw you closer to him, because you're realizing that that is the focus of what your relationship with Christ is to move closer to him, not understand processes of him, right? Just move closer and the rest will become naturally, organically flowed, because that's who God is. That's what he does. You read his stories. Let me bring some bread and some fish. I'm not feeding you all. He can. Why? Because he's God. That's what he does. And that's the only level of understanding. But as we close this morning, you know, I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with that people need you. People need your story, right? And people need you to connect them to Jesus at all times. That is what this world needs, right? They need you. They need your story. And they need you to connect them to Jesus. He'll do the rest. He's given you a story. Some of our stories are rock star stories. Some of them aren't. But they all hold value because they all center back to the same, which is Jesus. Right. So as we close this morning, and as I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to go into a last song, it's just the time, right? Where you leave every Sunday with something. That's what I want you to leave you with. It's just, where are you? Are you leaning in, right? Are you the student? Are you the follower? Or am I still just trying to get the baselines down? And that's fine. But it's the awareness. It's the knowing, and it's the speaking through it to understand where you are in your walk. And Heavenly Father God, thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful time we get together to just spend with you and study your word, Lord. As we read miracle after miracle that was performed in your name and by your hands, God, just like feeding the 5,000, Lord, may we not get lost in the idea of how you did it, Lord, but why you did it. Why? Because you are Jesus. And you came to present a way to the cross through you, through your blood, Lord. And that's what you did, God. May we continue that mission, Lord. May we continue the mission by continuing to say your name to as many people as we can say your name, God. May we live out who you were in our actions, Heavenly Father, Lord. I pray for the congregation this morning, God, as we all make those kind of personal dialogue conversations, Lord. Where is our walk with you, Heavenly Father? Where is our walk, God? That is the power of the Spirit, Lord, is when we're pulled closer to you, that we lean in and get closer to you, Heavenly Father. And then I also pray, God, those that may be here, those that may be online, Lord, some that will just start a relationship with you, God. And what I pray for them, Lord, is that they know you are love, Heavenly Father, and they are loved by you. That when you came here, God, to give a way to the cross, that is their way, Heavenly Father, is that they will see it and they will feel it, Lord, and they will know that you are God. And Jesus, I just pray as we go throughout this week, Lord, may we continue to profess your name to everyone that we ever run into, to all nations, to all community members, God. May we continue to live out your ways through our actions, Heavenly Father. And I'm just thankful for today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please stand with me.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.